Okay, good evening, and we're going to go ahead with this lesson. Part four, we'll be getting into two or three different aspects of the misunderstandings that arise. And thank you for coming in. Thank you for telling us about yourself, Friend Ader, and we invite you to stay and listen and make up your mind. It's a matter of choice. Each person is given their own choice. So we went through the saving gospel last time, and Daryl just did. Let me just take a minute to pull up the actual verses in 1 Corinthians 15. I think this is going to be a briefer than usual lesson anyway. So, the first two verses tell us our response to the second two verses, verses 3 and 4. So let me get 3 and 4 up there, and then we'll see how we are to respond to those two verses. For I, Paul says to the Corinthians that he had preached salvation to and that they had believed. They had believed it. This is what he preached. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. So he received it himself, too. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. In other words, it's not a matter of weighing our good against our bad. Every single sin is already paid for. The sins committed in 2100, in the future, in other words. 1990, showing my age there, 2018 or 19. And it goes on, Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again. Well, what do the first two verses say about it? Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you, he's telling them again, the gospel which I preached unto you, the gospel he preached in Acts 18 when he visited Corinth, which also you have received. So they did receive it. Wherein you stand, it gives them a standing, and it goes on in the next verse, by which also you are saved. Now notice it doesn't say you will be saved. It says you are saved. They're already saved. That's different than Israel's doctrine, and I'm sure it's different than what you've been accustomed to. They are saved at that moment. From then on, they will never see a hellfire or be in it. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also... let me get backed up here. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. You can't just believe anything. The creator of the universe is Jesus Christ. He is also the Son. And don't try to wrap a human brain around a divine thought. I mean, we can't understand the Godhead and logic of how God can be one God, and yet the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We can't understand. We're just human. We're not God. So don't let that stop you from getting to heaven by believing that Christ died for your sins. And, that's part of God's will. God's will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what we're doing here, trying to come to the knowledge of the truth through the Word of God only. That's the truth. That's the truth for us today. And that's the way God speaks to us. That's the way Jesus Christ speaks to us today, is through the words written by Paul that were revealed to Paul by Jesus Christ for us Gentiles. Paul is the only apostle, Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles. The rest were all sent, the 12 were all sent to Israel and Israel's people. So, but that saving gospel that we just went through in somewhat of detail, the earlier commissioning of Paul, or sending of Paul, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, that extended from Acts 13, verses 2 and 4, like the previous speaker had said, and it goes until Christ sent Paul beyond those boundaries in that gospel to all men at the beginning of the gospel, with the dispensing of that gospel of the grace of God to all men. In Acts 18, verse 22, we've looked at that before, and that's that brief visit to Jerusalem, where Paul went up, saluted the church, and went down to Antioch. During that time, why did he leave so fast? Because he saw in the temple vision there, he saw Christ saying, "Get out of Jerusalem in a hurry. They won't accept what I'm telling you now, that you're going to, in the near future, be sent to all people, not just to the Jews and the Greeks." Now, if you never made the distinction that Christ was earlier sent to the Jews and the Greeks, that's not going to have any meaning to you, because you think he was already sent to all people. But he wasn't. There's nothing in the Bible that says he was. He was sent at the beginning of the gospel. And that happened when Paul departed from Macedonia in Acts 20, verse 6. The beginning of the gospel is stated in Philippians 4:15. And we're going to have those verses on the screen shortly here, so we'll just go ahead with it for now. Later on, Paul told about his temple vision. Now, we said he received the temple vision with Christ telling him he would be sent in the near future. Then we saw in Acts 20, verse 6, he was sent when he sailed away from Macedonia at the beginning of the gospel. And now, two chapters later, in Acts 22, verses 17 through 21, Paul tells about his temple vision to the authorities. So the sequence of the three chapters involved are that Acts 18, Christ told Paul in his temple vision that shortly he would send him to all men. In Acts 20, that's Acts 18. In Acts 20, Paul received that sending at the beginning of the gospel when he departed from Philippi, Macedonia. Acts 22, two chapters later again, Paul testified to King Agrippa about that temple vision, which had been back in Acts 18. So it's easy to get them confused or to forget them. You might want to write them down, because they do have some bearing on, I mean, it verifies the integrity of the whole account of those early years. The Bible facts show that before Acts 18, the gospel of Christ was already being preached by Paul from at least Acts 13 through the beginning of the gospel in Acts 20. Quote, the beginning of the gospel, as it's quoted in Philippians 4:15. So Paul received of Christ the ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God, which is different from the gospel of Christ only in regard to its wider audience, the target audience to whom Paul was being sent by Jesus Christ, not in regard to its content or its saving message. Those were the same in both of those gospels, the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God. But, of course, much different than the gospel of the kingdom. It wasn't about a kingdom. It's about believing and being saved. What to believe. Paul established his mode of operation, his manner, Paul's manner is called literally in Scripture, and he did that through unbroken repetition. The scriptural accounts are sometimes specific and sometimes non-specific, but whenever they're specific, they always tell that Paul always ascertained whether his audience had heard and believed the gospel of God about who Jesus is before he would preach to them the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation. In the following verse list I'm going to give you in just a minute here, you can see that progression. You can see it in Rome, Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, and Ephesus. He didn't violate that. When the scriptures are specific, when they always verify this. In Rome, you can. I'm going to give you these verses now. We're not going to look them all up. If you're interested, go back and look at it again. But in Rome, you can see the progression there from Gospel of God to Gospel of Christ in Romans 1, verses 1 through 4, and then in Romans 1:16. Later is the Gospel of Christ. In Philippi, you see it in Acts 16, verses 14 and 15, the Gospel of God, and then, or evidence of him speaking the Gospel of God. And that's the same with all of these, actually. And then later in Acts 16, verses 30 to 34, you see him presenting the Gospel of Christ to not only to the Philippian jailer, but to his whole family, everyone in his family, and they believed. And we know it's the Gospel of Christ because in Philippi it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." It's a gospel of salvation. And Paul later in Philippians 1:27 says that, I forget the exact wording. Philippians 1:27 though, conduct your life as becometh the gospel of Christ. In other words, he had preached them the gospel of Christ, they had believed it, now live that way. So that verifies that the gospel of Christ is what he preached in Philippi in Acts 16. Even though it's the only time the gospel of Christ is mentioned after the end of Acts, in the epistles that were written after the end of Acts. The other times, the three or four times it's mentioned, is it's the gospel of the grace of God. And I say three or four, meaning including Colossians 1, verses 5 and 6. Some people, let me go into a different misunderstanding here. The note I've got here in brief is, does God's meaning differ from the words on the page? Does he trick us? No, he doesn't. He wants us to know. There are no more hidden, he's revealed the secrets that he kept, that he said he kept. So we know through Paul and Paul's writings what those mysteries or secrets were. But some people think that we are privately interpreting the right division verses in opposition to God's meaning, as seen in the rest of Scripture. There is a major contradiction if you try and combine what Paul said with what was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Is friend Dater still here? No, he had to go. But if that's what he was talking, he wanted to hear Jesus' words in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, those weren't to us. Jesus never addressed us. If we want to find what Jesus said to us, he said it through Paul in Paul's writings, not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus was only addressing Israel. So you have to take the words as they... I mean, when Christ said, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," that excludes us. You have to believe that. You have to believe that what he's saying in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not sent to us. It doesn't apply to us. So, but they say things like, "I see the verses, but I don't believe the meaning what you are saying. I don't believe they mean what you are saying." And I got that quote written down here. "I see the verses you're showing me, but I don't believe is what it comes down to. I don't believe they mean what you are saying." Well, I'm just saying what the words on the page say. But it's because of their background, their preconceived ideas, what they've been brought up with, the preconceived ideas of their mentors that mentored them in the scriptures, that they don't believe the verses shown them on the pages of the Bible. They believe there's still a lot of Rome that comes down through the denominations, even the denominations that claim to be against Rome and Rome's Empire Church, and the spin-offs from it. There's still a lot that comes down through that. How many churches are there that understand that baptism is addressed in Exodus 29 for Israel's kingdom? It's a kingdom function. Water baptism is a kingdom function. We're not in the kingdom. The kingdom's not coming while we're on earth. The body of Christ will be taken to heaven before the kingdom is brought in by Christ from heaven. So that's a source of misunderstanding, the things that we've been taught by parents or pastors. It just passes on to the next generation, unless, you know, except for the people that analyze it, like the previous speaker was saying, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith in each of these doctrines. You know, we all differ a little bit. None of us agree 100% on everything, and that means that you know, there's lots of different differences from what the scriptures say. So, okay, next misunderstanding. This will be misunderstanding, gospel misunderstanding number 12. We need to keep the context and the sequence of the writings in the scriptures, the scriptural writings, both the context, what's surrounding them, what it's said in connection with, in other words, and the sequence. What came before what? You know, God didn't tell Noah to build an ark after Paul's writings. It was before, you know, and that's a major step in sequence there. But the law came before grace, before the gospel of the grace of God. And we need to recognize that and realize that the writings to Israel about their law and the law written in their heart after we're gone to heaven, after the body of Christ is caught up to be with heaven, those Hebrews to Revelation writings for those Hebrews left here, you need to recognize the sequence. The Bible is put together just right, you know, with history and then the prophecies and the fulfilling of the prophecy or the offer of fulfillment in the at-hand kingdom that Christ offered and that John the Baptist preached and the 12 preached, and then they rejected it. Well, that's prophesied too. But God wasn't left in the lurch before he ever created the earth and the promise of the kingdom. He had designed for the body of Christ to handle the heavenly details, the heavenly government, not just on earth here, but out in the heavens, and the spiritual beings out there. We are not, we that are believers are not just going to battle them. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places, spiritual darkness, in spiritual darkness. So that's a present tense verse, Ephesians 6:12. We are in that battle, so let's get serious about it. You know, our spirits are in battle with the spiritual forces, and we have a resource they don't have, and we have a resource that the lost, the unsaved people do not have. We have the Holy Spirit that enables us to choose to follow the Spirit's promptings instead of the fleshly promptings that we wrestle against. There you go. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, hi. Good to see you, and thanks for that greeting. So, let's get into the text of this part of it. Gospel Misunderstanding number 12. In Acts 18, when Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians, so he visited Thessalonica in Acts 17. In Acts 18, he wrote back to them. My understanding is he wrote both the letters, both 1 and 2 Thessalonians, in Acts 18, in nearly the same time, but we're mostly concerned with 1 Thessalonians, although I do have a couple references from 2 in there. But when he wrote that, he was looking back from Acts 18. He was looking back at the events that happened in Acts 17, not only his own preaching the gospel of God. You remember, well, we're gonna see in a few, I guess probably next week in Monday's lesson, we're gonna start looking at Thessalonica under the microscope, and we'll see that Paul did get to preach the gospel of God, which we just saw that was the first thing he would preach when he came to a city. He'd go to the synagogue and preach the gospel of God, who Jesus is, that he's the Son of God, that he was resurrected, and that he's Israel's Messiah. So he would do that. Well, in Acts 18, when he wrote back, and we can see what he wrote there in 1 Thessalonians, chapters 1 through 5, he already knew. Let me take this in order here. I'm going to go by the notes. He was looking back at the events that happened in Acts 17, not only his own preaching to the gospel of God, preaching of the gospel of God in Thessalonica in Acts 17, verses 2 through 5. That's where you'll see the gospel of God preached by Paul in Acts 17, verses 2 through 5. And he verifies that that's the gospel of God when you get into 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. But as he preaches it, he was also looking, I mean, as he wrote 1 Thessalonians, he was also looking back at the events that Timothy had reported back about, as Paul noted in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 and 7, after Paul sent him to minister unto those Gospel of God believers, to minister the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation, which he had gotten kicked out of Thessalonica before he had a chance to preach it to them, in the order that he usually does, in Paul's manner, Paul's mode of operation. Notice that Paul calls the gospel of salvation our gospel in this in connection here, not just my gospel in this case, as if he was the only one preaching it. He wasn't. Paul includes his fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, Timothy. That's 1 Thessalonians 3:2. He includes him when he says our gospel, when identifying the gospel of salvation. He refers to it as our gospel. And that was the gospel of salvation that the Thessalonians were saved by when Timothy went back and ministered it to them. But you have to remember, before that's accounted for, told about in 1 Thessalonians in chapters 2 and 3, at the beginning of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1, Paul writes some things, and he already knows that they are going to believe when Timothy preaches the gospel to them, because Timothy had already reported it before Paul sat down to write the book, the first epistle of the to Thessalonica. Hold on a minute here. Something popped up in front of me. I think it's all right. I'm going to just ignore it. We'll see. If I disappear, I will return. So, that was the. Let's go on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. We'll see what I'm talking about here, I think. Paul said that the Thessalonians had elected or chosen God by our gospel, which came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Well, when did that happen? You can't assume that he's talking about Acts 17 when Paul preached the gospel of God. That all happened. The power of the Holy Ghost is Romans 1:16, the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. So they got to hear the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ, when Timothy was sent back. And this is before that's accounted for in 1 Thessalonians. It's in chapter 1. But Paul knew it. He had already gotten the report back. So Paul was not saying that he preached the gospel of Christ to them in Acts 17. That would have been contradictory to what he said in other places. Paul was saying that the Thessalonians heard and believed the gospel of Christ from Timothy, his fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. And that was after Paul had sent him back in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2. You can see that and let's look at, I'm going to read those. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. That's what they were lacking. They believed. Yeah, they had faith. They believed the gospel of God that Paul preached in Acts 17, but they hadn't heard the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ, until Paul sent Timothy back. So, four verses later, after it says that Paul sent Timotheus to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith by the gospel of Christ, four verses later, Paul reports to have heard back from Timothy that the Thessalonians heard and believed the gospel of Christ that Timothy ministered unto them as Paul's fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, as it says in verse 2. So we'll read those two verses now, 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 and 7. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress. Well, how? By your faith. That's what verse 2 said, that he was concerning your faith. Yeah, to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith. They needed to be established. They needed to hear the gospel of salvation and believe it. He sent Timothy. They heard it and believed it. And Paul reports back, and Timothy reports back to Paul, but you know, you almost, I catch myself every time on trying not to say that Paul was anxious to find out, because I'm sure it wasn't anxiety, but he was quite eager to hear what their response would be when they heard the gospel of Christ and that they were becoming saved. For him it was a process, sending Timothy, waiting, and then hearing back. But for them, the moment they trusted, they were saved. Just like us. The moment we trust, we're saved. So, by Acts 18, Paul, when he wrote 1 Thessalonians, Paul knew what Timothy related in these last two verses we read. 1 Thessalonians 3, 6, verses 6 and 7. That the Thessalonians had believed Timothy about the gospel of Christ four verses earlier in verses 1 and 2. And had been saved by the gospel of Christ in 1 Thessalonians 3. Not in 1 Thessalonians 1 or 2. when they had just heard the gospel of God, or in not in Acts 17, 1 through 10, when all they had heard is the gospel of God about who Jesus is, that he's the Son of God, the risen Messiah. And they weren't saved. Later in Acts 17, verse 15, or verse chapter 18, verse 5, that's one of those two, probably Acts 17, verse 15, is when Timotheus got back to Paul. They were saved when they heard Timothy's gospel of salvation and believed it. So, when Paul first sat down to write 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, verse 5, it makes a difference in these verses. Verse 5, verse 9, verse 10, he already knew that they had believed our gospel, the gospel of Christ, preached to them by Timothy under Paul's direction, his fellow laboring, and his sending. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. So when they say, look in 1 Thessalonians before the gospel of God, or before the gospel of Christ in chapter 3, and it says that they were saved and turned from idols and all this, that's a smokescreen kind of thing. I mean, that was all written after Paul knew that they were believers in the gospel of Christ. Gospel misunderstanding number 13. Gospel. We're going to review some things about the gospel of Christ, my gospel, our gospel. We have covered some of that. We're going to go into a little more detail here. In Romans 1:16, Paul names the gospel of Christ as God's saving good news, of which in his case, his case was that he is not ashamed. In other words, Paul claims the gospel of Christ as his life changer. It changed his life. He's not ashamed of it. His life displays it. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Not to everyone. It says to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's another limiter that's in there as part of the gospel of Christ, that it was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Not to us alien Gentiles yet, until Paul's later sending. Paul's next mention of his life-changing gospel is to refer to it as my gospel, by which God will judge between who is not saved and who is saved and delivered from the wrath to come. Look at Romans 2, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So when, Paul calls the gospel of Christ my gospel. That's what he's talking about when he says my gospel. It's the gospel of salvation before the end of Acts, before he was sent to all people. And when Paul and his associates went from synagogue to synagogue, their manner would be to preach the gospel of God before preaching the gospel of Christ. They'd preach who Jesus is before they would preach what Jesus did for us to save us. And he would only preach the gospel of Christ to those who had believed the gospel of God. Paul referred to the gospel of Christ that he and his associates, fellow preachers there, what they preached, he referred to it as our gospel, and we saw that, but also in 2 Thessalonians 2:14, whereunto he called you Thessalonians, by our gospel, called you to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the salvation gospel he's talking about, because it's the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ only comes from believing the gospel of Christ to give you life everlasting. Okay, thank you for posting. I'm done with what I've got set up for today's lesson, and if there are questions, please bring them up now.